Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, it's kind of nice knowing all the people that are here. I haven't said hello to them yet, but I've been hearing who's here. The next guest speaker is new to her profession, and she was familiar with the service. So, I don't know, you all know John Black. Well, she took his place. It's a tough job. Takes somebody really strong to do this job. She came from DCAP, Disability and Communications Access Board, and she worked for them for over 20 years. And that is where I think I met you, isn't it? Yeah, please welcome what Charlotte Thompson is going to do is share with us what's ahead for the future, the plans, and what is currently being done. She's here. No grumble session. She is here to share what we're going to be getting as far as hand event service. Right, Charlotte?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There's a little bit of gap in there, so let me kind of fill in some of the holes in where I fit into everything. I've been involved in the disability community for a very long time. As Londa said, at least with the Disability and Communication Access Board directly for over 20 years. And in that capacity, I did many things, but one of my favorite things, if you will, was to work with federal, state, and local ordinances to promote civil rights issues for people with disabilities. And with the passage of the ADA in 1990, it kind of took off in various directions. I left DCAB about in October of this year to take on a new challenge. I was on my way to retirement, having worked for the state for a very long time. And in doing so, I was asked to recruit the new vice president for paratransit. And on that committee, I had no idea that they were going to manipulate that invitation to actually be a job interview for the position itself. And so I like to think I was kind of snookered into the position. But in reality, it has been a tremendous challenge, and I am very glad for the opportunity to do so. Handyman is a service that has been with us for a very long time. It has had many providers throughout the years. Mayflower is one that comes to mind, and there have been others. But it's been since, I believe, 1997 that Oahu Transit Services, which is an organization that primarily serves the bus on the island of Oahu, had been given the contract to do the handyman paratransit service. So let me just digress a minute and make sure you all understand that now paratransit is a federal requirement under the ADA that every community that has a fixed route bus service like ours is required under law to provide paratransit services for people with disabilities who, because of their disability or because of the environment, is unable to actively use the fixed route bus system. And in order to be eligible for handyman services, there is an assessment that is applied. The assessment part of the eligibility is done by another provider, and many of you may have already been through that process. They're located in the First Insurance Building off of Ward and Hotel Street. And you go there and you go through a process of what they call a functional assessment, where you are walked through various situations in the city to see how you manage in order to determine whether or not the handyman is the appropriate transportation service for you. It is not an automatic thing just because someone has a visual impairment or is blind. Doesn't automatically guarantee that they're going to be handyman eligible, although many are. And many individuals have a dual use, if you will. They ride the bus and they also ride handyman. And that's a totally acceptable situation because things change. You may be very mobile on the bus during the day. At night, you may not be so easy. So you can ride the handyman at night and ride the bus during the day, or you can make a choice depending on the status of your situation at any given time. Now, I know there was a lot of publicity this past week. Last week was not my best week, I must say. There was a required audit that was performed on handyman services. It was an audit that covered a period of time of 2013, 2015. Of course, that was before I came to handyman, but nonetheless, I inherited some issues that needed to be addressed, and the audit did address them. I can tell you that many of the things that were written in the audit was not a surprise. Yes, we are an organization that is not fully funded to capacity. Our vehicles are old. Some of my vehicles have over 300,000 miles on them, and we still keep them operational. The city and county of Honolulu, through your property taxes and federal taxes, actually support the handyman service, but it is not equal to the bus. And I'll tell you that straight up. The bus is the main star attraction for transportation on Oahu, and the handyman is kind of like its stepchild. And I'm working daily to change that perspective. They should have comparable service, and they should have comparable equipment, and they should be able to fulfill the obligation of our disabled community. And in order to do that, it takes quite a bit of political influence. It takes a lot of pressure on the part of us as consumers to make sure that we're not forgotten and that we are entitled to an equal share of the pie. So the newspaper article that was in the paper, I'll tell you honestly, was not a full assessment of what the audit said. It talked about many of the problems, but did not address some of the issues that we're trying to work on to turn things around. And I know some of you have questions.
Just, ma'am, yes. How much is the van cost?
How much? Well, it depends on which model we're looking at, but a van can cost.
Let's make a cheaper model.
A cheaper model.
No, I just do. But give us a model. What is the cost of a cost?
For a 14-passenger van with a ramp or with a lift that can seat at least two wheelchairs, we're talking about $250,000 a piece.
$250,000 a piece.
You can go under, by $100,000, you can go above to $100,000. It really depends upon the model that is chosen. It depends on many things. Some of our big cutaway vans are most expensive. But I have to tell you that we need a diverse fleet. We don't need to have a fleet of $300,000 vans because the geography on Oahu is such that we have small lanes. You live in Palolo, you live in Aleva Heights, you're living in steep roads where many of our vans can't go. So we really need to expand our fleet to make sure that we have a variety of different vehicles to meet the needs that we have here, from sedans to minivans to cutaways, so that we can ensure that the right vehicle is sent to the right place in order to accommodate the various needs of our communities. So there is not one model that fits us. We need to really look at a more diverse fleet. And speaking of that, because our vans are getting old and it takes about 2 years for us to procure a new van, we're not a private entity that can just go out and buy what we want. We're affiliated with the City and County of Honolulu, and as such, we have to adhere to the procurement laws that apply to the city, just like if we have procurement laws in the state. We go for the lowest bid, we have to put out specifications, and that whole process takes over a year to accomplish. So right now, I'm looking at a budget to get new vans but I'm not going to see them on the road for 2 more years. All right, and that's a problem. So what we have done is to try to expand our capacity by having contracts with vendors. We have 3 vendors from cab companies here on Oahu. We have The Cab, ProCare, and Echo Cabs, and they take many of our riders in order to meet the demand. Just last week alone, we placed 752 riders in private taxis in order to ensure that they get where they needed to go. That's a tremendous cost to the system, but we're able to get a contract for vendors much quicker than we can to get new vehicles in our fleet. The vehicles are not all accessible to people with disabilities, but not all people with disabilities need an accessible vehicle. One thing I'd like you to remember is that 70% of our individuals are non-wheelchair users. So 70% can be accommodated in regular private vehicles. The 30% are the ones that need to have either an accessible lift or a ramp due to a mobility impairment.
Excuse me?
Yes.
So how many cabs are available?
Okay.
The number varies. It varies day to day. We don't look at the number of vans more than we look at the number of rides, because we are a shared ride entity. So you're never guaranteed to have one person in one van, one cab necessarily. But we do have 3 vendors who can meet our needs on a day-to-day basis. But I can't tell you how many we have available to us. The contractor goes ahead and puts our request out kind of like an open bid, and the private taxi individuals will bid on those rides on a day-to-day basis. Yes.
I've got 2 questions for you.
But everybody does have a question. I'll get to you just as soon as I'm done. Yes.
The audit spoke about
microphone.
Four items.
I got one.
The audit mentioned about 4 items that were they carried out would have enhanced handy van services here in Honolulu. One of which was consumer feedback. I think that was the second item. I don't recall all 4, but perhaps if you were to enumerate the 4 items that were not carried out, perhaps this group might be able to work in the area of enhancing the handyman service through political ties, through friendship, all kind of connections. Now, one of the things that leadership have been considering until the number was just dropped right now was for this organization to donate 1 van. But of course, We were not thinking about 200. But don't laugh, because that is not an unreachable number. And the point is that if you have community support in terms of dollars, not just they favor the handyman, then maybe a couple of organizations combined could fund one van, a brand new van, to replace the old fleet. And this, one of the things that we need to know is the workability between administration of the handyman and the disabled community. And this group, I'm not sure how we stack up in terms of usage, but I've seen people go all kinds of places that they never did before because of the handyman. And so from our perspective, this service is a great service, and it should be enhanced. And we as consumers should commit ourselves to bettering this service if we can. And one area is to replace the aging fleet that you have. So I'd like for you to address the four items that were not carried out as listed by the end of the Tuesday newspaper article on this.
Okay, now we're working off of my memory because I don't have the article with me, and the article was not a full comprehensive assessment of what was in the audit. So if I could just talk about what the audit found, because that's the document that we're going to use to move forward on some of the recommendations. Some of the things that the audit talked about were things that seemed like it would be a good idea, but may not actually be. So bear with me as I go through this for you. One of the critiques of the audit was that we are providing greater service to subscription riders than we are to our demand riders. And what that means, excuse me, is that subscription riders are those riders that are receiving service on a regular basis. Agency riders are an example of a subscription ride where you have individuals with developmental disabilities that go to programs such as La Tequila and SECO and Easter Seals, and they go every single day at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then they get picked up every single day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that takes the bulk of our vans off the street for people that we call demand riders, which are people that would call up and say, I need a 12 o'clock or a 7 o'clock pickup to run to Walmart, and then after that we're going to go down to Alamoana, and then we're going to come home. They'll call. These are what we call demand riders. Well, the article is very critical, saying that because of how we manage our subscription rides, that we are decreasing the availability of those individuals who just want to go for a day or a particular hour, or to go out with friends for lunch. So that was a huge criticism of the audit. And it is true, we do have a tremendous amount of vans that are utilized for these subscription rides. There is no preference, however, in us denying you a ride because of a subscription ride. What actually happens is that those rides at those times of days are extremely tight. We have traffic at that hour, which is horrendous. And so we're competing with everybody else coming to work and going home. And that's why there are delays. And the delays are not acceptable. I absolutely agree with you. They are not acceptable for anyone to have to wait an hour or 2 hours for a ride. And we need to decrease that time. But the only way we can do that is to look at trying to break up the bulk of users that are guaranteed rides almost every single day. We have other subscription riders that are not affiliated with agencies, people who have dialysis, for example. We have a tremendous population of dialysis individuals who have to be at a dialysis site at the time that their appointment. So if they have a 6 o'clock in the morning dialysis, they have to be in the chair at 6 o'clock in order to meet their obligation for the machine. And those are very tough to do. We have to get them there exactly on time, again, competing to a high rush traffic time. So that was a huge criticism. And how we are trying to deal with that is to bring in the private vendors to take those individuals to these appointments on time to relieve the vans to be able to meet the needs of people with a mobility impairment. Because you can't put a wheelchair in a taxi. We don't have enough accessible taxis. So there's a criticism there. What I would like to do is to expand the kinds of vehicles that we can use. I would truly like to have a fleet of regular sedans that we can use to send out to certain areas, particularly in central Oahu and the Waianae Coast, to relieve the vans when they are running late, that can go and respond like regional response vehicles to help to relieve the burden. I had made that proposal to the city. They like the idea, but they have no sedans. And for me to get a sedan fleet, I would have to wait another additional 3 years. So it's not helping to relieve the problem now. But I'm trying to find within the city and the state some of these vehicles that they use for agency cars. You know, you go to the van pool and you get a vehicle under the state or the city, and you go to your appointments and you bring these vehicles back. These vehicles are recycled on almost every 2 year basis, and I'm trying to see whether or not we can get some of those vehicles without having to go through a tremendously long procurement process. And that'll help to relieve the strain that we have in the early morning and in the late afternoon. Another criticism of the audit was that we provide our services to everyone. And they say that we need to be a little bit more constrained on who we provide services to. Under the ADA, it says that we have to provide service along a bus route, 3/4 of a mile on each side of the bus route. So if you're talking about Kamehameha Highway, Farrington Highway, King Street, you're looking at 3/4 of a mile on each side. If we were to impose that on Oahu, we would have enclaves of communities that would receive no service at all. And that would be things like Hulio'o, Aina Haina, some places up in Upper Nuuanu and Manoa, or beyond the 3/4 of a mile. And we don't think that that's right, that we should have these little communities that are receiving no service at all. So we go and we service them. And what the audit says is that we should stop doing that and only serve what the ADA requires us to do. Well, we're not going to do that. The other criticism was that we do not deny service to anyone. And that's true, we don't. We try to fit you in wherever we can, but we don't deny service. We just try our best to work it out. And they're saying in the audit that that has a ripple effect to everyone else. So we should relook at that and have more constraints on who we provide services to. Another critique that they gave us was premium service. And they're saying that under the ADA, which is true, you can have basic services, what Handyman does, but you can charge your customer more money for a premium service. So an example of a premium service might be that here we have Londa, who would like to get somewhere, and she doesn't want to have to wait. She wants to be the only person in a van going to an appointment at 2 o'clock. So we go and we provide her what we call a voucher. And that voucher can be used by her to choose any provider that she wants. And part of that money that the voucher would cover would be with the cost that we would have incurred if we took her on our van. So say it cost us $35 to run our service one way. So the voucher could be worth $35, and it could be worth within a 5-mile radius of where she lives. So if you travel within 5 miles with this voucher, you can have any vendor you want, because you have no mobility impairment, you don't need an accessible van. You could call a cab, you could call Eco, you could call anyone. The voucher would be good for $35. And if you exceeded that, you would pay that cost yourself. Right? So they're looking at a comparable service such as that, where you could have a voucher that we could issue you. And then you're not part of us, we just give you the voucher, and we don't account for that trip. It's not an ADA trip. It's really a subsidy that we would provide you that would be equivalent to what we would have received or we would have paid out from Handyman. So these are some of the things that the audit is asking us to look at as other ways to reduce the ridership and to make the system more in compliance with what the intent of ADA is.
Sean,
yes?
Did they audit the eligibility?
No. The eligibility center was looked at, but it really wasn't included in the audit to the same degree that the handyman was. Now, the time that the audit covered was right during that time, I don't know if some of you remember, in October, I think, of 2014, when Handyman went ahead and had a same-day reservation system installed, and they bought some new software and hardware from a mainland vendor in order to do our reservation system. And we weren't prepared, the organization wasn't prepared for all of the consequences of that new system, and it was a terrible reaction in the community. It was a very hard time for handymen and for our riders. So the audit really took a critique of that particular period of time. And so we have made significant changes since then in order to address some of these issues. And I'm one of them. The management was reorganized. They hired more reservationists. We hired more dispatchers. We have gotten more training on this new system, computer system. The system itself now does the batching for us in order to make sure that everybody is serviced on this system. We are reducing the manual manifests that we worked with for so many years. So big changes have occurred, and we have gone through growing pains with that process. But I do believe that the future is good for Handyman. Now, no matter what the city and the city council says, as long as we have a bus service, they are required to have Handyman. Yep. So it's not as easy as they say to just dissolve us, but they need to make a better investment in Handyman and what Handyman is here to provide. Now, Warren had mentioned a donation of a vehicle. Now, that touches my heart more than you know. But please realize that we are part of government, and Handyman and OTS owns nothing. Everything is owned by the city and county of Honolulu. Every bus, the facility that we operate out in Kalihi on Middle Street, all of my computers, everything belongs to the county. And I'm not sure how the county accepts donations, but any kind of money or any kind of material donation has no guarantee that it's going to come to Handyman.
Charlotte.
Question.
Charlotte.
Good morning, Charlotte.
or aloha. My name is Ray Campbell. I'm from Chicago, and I'm immediate past chair of an ADA committee for our suburban transit service. A quick comment and two questions. Comment is, I'm so glad to hear you're not going to go down to the three-quarter mile minimum. That is great news. Being from a suburban county where that happened a few years ago, we had to get very angry with them when they tried to do that. Two questions. First of all, what is your goal for on-time performance of your handyman service, and how close are you to achieving that? And second of all, have you looked into other means of putting more vehicles on the street? I know there's been talk locally back in Chicago about, and they haven't done anything with this yet, but using like bringing like Uber and Lyft into that service. And what that does is, now some people say Uber is a bad thing and Lyft are bad things. You know what? It brings them under regulations. So has there been any talk about that as well? Thank you.
Just coincidentally, I met with Uber and Lyft just last week in order to try to see how we can better utilize them. For those of you who don't know, Uber and Lyft are organizations who use apps and computers in order to secure riders and drivers for transportation services. And before Uber and Lyft can actually operate to try to augment services for us, there's many things that have to happen politically. There's legislation right now in the city and county to regulate how Uber and Lyft type programs operate. We have a huge taxi lobby here in the state of Hawaii who is absolutely against Uber and Lyft kinds of organizations. So before we can put them on the road, we have to change our political climate, and we have to change our ordinances that limit those kinds of services. Taxis are not as regulated in Hawaii as they are in some communities on the mainland, but they have a tremendous amount of political influence. I do believe that the future is very positive with organizations like Lyft and Uber. And why? It's because of what I said earlier. The majority of our population are people that do not have mobility impairments, but people who are elderly, people who may have difficulty walking longer distances, people who are medically dependent on things such as dialysis, we can accommodate them in an Uber-type vehicle and Lyft. So we are pursuing that, and I think the future negotiations look fairly positive. Now why? It's because they're being tapped to provide these services on the mainland as well. So Lyft in particular is trying to organize themselves in a way that they can meet the need of us in the transportation industry to actually become a part of that service. I don't see that happening right now, but I think within 2 to 3 years, they would be very good partners for the handyman. The on-time performance, yes, I would like to increase our on-time performance. You know, in order to have a good rating with on-time performance, we have a window that we have available to us that many people don't understand. We are still considered on time if we come a half an hour before or half an hour after. And because of that window, our on-time performance tends to be higher than the population would like it to be. Right now, we run about 88% of our vehicles are on time. My goal is to increase that to 95%. Okay, another question?
Hello. I have a personal question.
Hang on, Philo. We got other people in line here.
Sorry. Raise your hand so I can see it.
I have two questions. One is, do you have any organized way of having input from the drivers and for their concerns about routes or whatever? And the second question is, if you, with your new vehicles that you're purchasing, are they going to be 10-passenger vehicles or shorter? Because, you know, if you have 10 people in the van, there's no way that you can get to your appointment before 2.5 hours. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the van, the next purchase of vans that I am going to get are going to be minivans, are going to be minivans, and they're going to hold between 6 and 8 people on those minivans. And so they're not going to be our cutaways, our huge vans, but we can't make it economically feasible to cut it down to anything smaller than that. That doesn't mean that all of the vans will run to capacity where we fill the minivans at 10 for every trip that we're going to take all of the time. But we do need smaller vehicles, and the reason we need them is, again, because we have to go places that our bigger vans can't go. So that's the reason why we're getting our fleets to be of various sizes. Yes, I know what your concerns are. The more people you have on the van, the more delayed you are because you have to drop off and pick up along the way. That is absolutely true. And that's one of the disadvantages of paratransit, is that it is a shared ride experience. Before you utilize heavy van as one of your transportation options, it's just one of those things that is inherent to the system. And what does that take on your part? Well, it takes a tremendous amount of pre-planning. It takes, you know, having to prioritize sometimes where you need to be and at what time of day you need to be. The more flexibility you have in your scheduling and spreading out your appointments, the greater success you have on getting there on time. I have said this over and over again, and I'll keep saying it. How you organize yourself as a person with a disability, how you see what the environment is and where you fit into it, is absolutely critical. It is impossible, and I'll tell you right out, if you start your day at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning because you have a doctor's appointment at 8 o'clock and you live anywhere in Central Core Oahu, you're gonna have a problem. And if you're done with your doctor's appointment at 9 o'clock and you wanna be at Walmart in Keaweoku by 9 o'clock, and then you wanna have lunch with your friends at 1 o'clock, and then you wanna go to Target to do your grocery shopping to be picked up at 4 o'clock, in order to get home at 6, your day is nuts. Because one thing in the morning is gonna delay you for the whole day. And what you're gonna get is groceries at Target at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that is melting, and that you're hot, and you're frustrated, and you're on the phone to me and my staff, where the hell are you? And the bottom line is, you planned it wrong, guys. You planned it wrong.
That's right.
You need to take personal responsibility to know the constraints that we have on Oahu. And this isn't even a handyman. We're talking about just getting from Waipahu and the rail. How are we supposed to get around all of that and still make it to work on time and still pick up the kids from school and still do all the things that we have to do? So regardless of disability, our life is full of pre-planning to get around the barriers that exist in our town. And if you have a disability on top of it, you've got to factor that into your day. You just have to, because the handyman is not going to be able to solve that for you. Spread your day out. You want to have a good day with your friends and have lunch, then do that, and do it at a reasonable hour, at a reasonable time that we can get you there when you need to get there. But we have to work together in partnership. Handyman is not going to be able to meet everybody's needs all of the time. That is just not realistic. And if you don't need handyman, don't use it. The bus is so much more comfortable. They have air shocks on their buses. I have no air shocks in the handyman. How uncomfortable that is. I'm working on it. But nonetheless, the buses are much more comfortable. You have much more control on your schedule if you can ride the bus. I encourage you to do so. When you need us, we'll be there. We are the provider of last resort. If that cab does not come for you, you're an hour late, the cab doesn't come, they're not responding, it is our obligation to come and get you. No matter. If you have to wait uncomfortably for us to reroute a van to get to you, yes you do, but we will be there, and it is our responsibility to service you no matter what.
What do you want us to do? Do you want us to help you, or do you want us to let it go?
You know, I didn't come here today to ask you to do anything other than to be aware of the current situation of handyman out in our community, to realize that I want your input, to know where the reality of the situation is, to communicate that reality. That to me is really important, and to take some control over your schedule. Yeah, we need to remind your political friends that handyman is critical to your life, that you want them to invest in handyman for your future. This is things you can do. You can do this for anything. You can do this to make sure your streets are taken better care of. You have no idea how many phone calls I get complaining about potholes. I say, people call the city. People call the state. They're responsible to roads, not handyman. Direct your concerns to where they are absolutely being heard.
Charlotte.
Would you be surprised? Because we pick up the phone and we talk to you, we get all the public coming at us. And the fact of the matter is, you have to realize what the structure is.
Okay.
And then use your influence as writers and taxpayers to demand better of our political entities and of our government. I work for them, I know. Pressure does work.
Is there a move on OTS for transit to do?
Comment is, God bless you for having the guts to take on.
It was almost crazy to do that. But thank you very much. It really needed an address, and it still needs a lot more, as I know you know. You talked about the 18th lane. I thought somewhere I heard you talking about 100 new vans in the last year. Actually. Is that correct?
What's your question? Do you have a question or just comment?
Suggestion. Question and suggestion.
A few years ago, we did get a fleet of 99 new vehicles, but those vehicles were 4 years in the making in order to get to us, and half of those vehicles were replacement vehicles for vans that could no longer be operated. So even though it seems like we got a whole bunch of new vans, in reality, we really didn't. It was a replacement for many. We have all 99 of them out on the road. But pretty soon they're going to need to be replaced too. You know, we put on a tremendous amount of mileage on those vans, and we have to take them off the road and maintenance them. So the fleet that I have right now on a day-to-day basis on the road is about 169 vehicles that are handyman vehicles. That does not include the taxis that we ask to augment our service. We provide over 3,000 rides a day, utilizing those 169 vehicles.
One comment real quick.
Can I just interrupt here?
Just one more comment, Hunter.
Okay, so we've got about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more comment, maybe one question.
Good morning, Charlotte. I was happy to have the estimated van arrival system working. It's one way from OTS paratransit to the consumer. Now, is there a move on the OTS paratransit to for the consumer to provide, say, text message or email or an app to tell, to make reservations and cancellations? Because it takes maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes waiting on the phone, and it's just too long. Thank you.
Yes, I would love to be able to do it electronically, and that is part of my future goal in order to do that. Our phone systems are horrible. Just horrible. And it's not, and it's the system. The city and county has promised us a new phone system that would be integrated into the county network, which would give us much more powerful lines and a whole shorter wait time for everyone. We've been promised that. Let's see, I came on board in October. When I came on board in October, it was supposed to be installed in December. In December, they postponed it to January. In January, they postponed it to February. Here we are in March, and they doubt we aren't going to get it until June. This is an ongoing frustration, of course. We know the problems you have with the phones. the difficulty, which I have a very difficult time, people in authority to listen to, is that in order for us to be compliant with the ADA, we have to provide a tremendous amount of data on things like wait time, phone queuing, cancellations. There's a tremendous amount of accountability, and so much of that comes through our phone lines. And when our phone lines go down, my statistics look awful, just awful. And I have to account for that. Well, so much of that is because the infrastructure, the phone infrastructure, the cellular infrastructure is not where it should be. And the city knows that, but they have to procure, they have to do all kinds of things in order for it to actually get implemented. Every month, I pray for my new phones, because right now, when I go past my reservation and dispatch line, and I look at the queue on the wall, that there are 40 people waiting in the queue for a pickup, that is just not acceptable. And when now we have expanded our reservations to 3 days, that 40 even grows longer. It is a problem, and yes, we are really trying to work that out. I know you have a lot of questions. I had not intended to stay for your whole day, but I know you have to move on with the program. I'll stay a little while longer if you have any questions, however. And I really thank you for your enthusiasm and for the questions that you asked. I hope you didn't take it as being defensive, but I've been in front of so many people trying to defend Handy Van that today is just one more day in a very, very long week. So I apologize to you if I do sound that way. But we have a lot of work to do, and I'm energized by talking with you to go back and do an even better job. I have an awesome amount of staff. They've been beaten raw under a lot of circumstances, and they still are able to give you the aloha that you deserve. I'm very proud of them, and many of my drivers love you, and they treat you like family, and that will continue to happen. So from all of my staff at Handy Van, I just thank you for your patience and your perseverance and your loyalty to the program. It means so much to all of us.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte, and how we might even be able to help Handy Van in certain circumstances. So again, thank